Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
With Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Well, the 12 days of Chris Curtis-ness continues Monday on the Greg Hill Show. Today, he's just accepting his gift of Bill going to North Carolina, reveling in that.
My question for every Patriot fan that's angry at me or others for pointing out the reasons why he's not a coach, why did 31 teams say no to him? If I'm wrong,
Kraft blackballed him. You heard the texter.
But that doesn't make any sense. Kraft wants to be in the Hall of Fame. They won't let that happen. But they're allowing.
He's doing him a favor. He's like, look, I've lied to you before, but I'm not lying to you here. Bill can't coach anymore.
Yeah, Bill Belichick does. I'm sorry.
Don't hire him.
Robert Kraft does not have the sway he once held, because if he did, he'd be in Canton.
But that's why Jerry Jones should have hired him, especially because you know they hate each other. That would have been the ultimate.
Right. He was totally incentivized to do it. Mike McCarthy is not being paid next year. He said no.
So let me ask you the question they asked Curran.
4-9, if you want to go back and talk about Drew Bledsoe coming in the 13 games that preceded week 2 of the 2001 season where Mo Lewis changed the course of... So you don't think Mo Lewis changed history?
No, Bledsoe would have won anyway.
Not an important hit.
Not really, yeah. Oh. Overrated. I didn't say that. Ty lost it.
No, I know, but you agree.
I agree with Ty.
So you agree that Mo Lewis' hit was not a big moment in Boston sports history?
No, actually what he said was... They needed that hit to get them to the next level with Brady. But if they had stayed with Bledsoe when he came in, they would have. At that point, the team was changed enough that they had won.
No, they said that if Brady never got hurt, I was a part of the conversation, that they still would have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's true. Wiggy did say. I'm not sure Ty agreed with that.
Okay.
But Wiggy did.
In the 13 games that preceded the injury,
yep.
4-9. So I don't really see that. I mean... I think Tom Brady went 11-3 the rest of the way. So I think in the next two seasons, they had 10 total losses.
Yeah.
Brady was 11-3, including the playoffs, and then 9-7 the next year. So he was 20-10. That is a little hard to believe, considering they had 9 losses in the prior 13 as opposed to the next 30.
Well, he won 8. He must have got 2 somewhere. He won 6 here.
What?
Bill, 8 titles.
Oh, right.
Let's go to, before we get to Danny, Steve in the truck. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, guys, and early Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
Chris, I love you, but I'm sorry, not Chris. Ken,
How many of your calls start this way? Your calls always start that way. Ken, I love you, but.
I do love you guys. You guys are great. But you got to understand something. Chris is 150% right. Bledsoe, yeah, he threw a touchdown in that game. But he almost threw the game away when he threw the pass over his shoulder.
That was unbelievable.
I mean, come on, listen. The guy was good. He could do some things like Pascal said. Let's not put him in Canton yet. But he threw so many picks because he couldn't get out of his own way. And he would throw the errant passes into coverage because he was getting ready to go down. That's not what Brady did. Brady knew enough to cover up and get down and take the loss or the down loss and not throw the ball away and try to, you know, and get an interception. So I don't see any way they're going to win the Super Bowl with Bledsoe in there. As much as I like him as a quarterback, he was a sturdy guy.
So, Steve, are you with Curtis then? You just believe Bill was all – he was made by Tom. Tom made Bill.
I think it was a joint venture. I don't think either one of them are as great as they are without the other one. I'll say it this way. I think it was about 60-40 Brady. I really do. I think Brady was the overwhelming factor, but I don't think either one of them are as good as they are without each other.
All right, Steve, thank you. Where are you at now? 99-1?
98-2. Let's be polite.
I want to play this current cut because this is about Kraft. Because what is Kraft feeling today, this week, when he sees this happening? As happy as he said. The afternoon guys asked Curran about that. And just the beginning of it is kind of funny. Go ahead, Zach, if you have that clip.
I think that is I can't even imagine going to that logic. The team is in such disarray right now that that's like somebody handing you an ice cream when you're, you know, on your way into hell. Whatever.
So he's saying Kraft's team is a mess. He doesn't care what Bill's doing.
Yeah. I would say that is being not deferential. I would say Curran is being polite to his old colleague in Bill Belichick.
Do you think Kraft is doing cartwheels?
Of course!
Even though he picked the wrong guy, and this proves it.
No, he made the right decision.
Yes. Years later, he made the right decision to cut ties.
No. He moved on from Bill Belichick. He believed he was no longer worthy of the power he held, and the rest of the NFL agreed.
Okay, so he was kind of right, but kind of wrong.
He was right in what I just described.
Danny from Quincy is a man of many talents. He was also texting me astronomical factoids yesterday about the sun and the winter solstice. So he's kind of a meteorological guy like you. But he's on the phone now. Wanted to talk about Bill. Hello, Danny. How are you? Thank you for the calendars.
Yeah, well,
before they get here?
Well, yeah. I sent them yesterday, Ken. I don't know if you probably won't get them until next week. So
that's
hopefully
fine.
You won't go on vacation too early. I mean, that Christmas
here.
Vacation creeps up.
Yeah, it does. Curtis
okay,
is gone.
Curtis,
here.
You there or are you going?
Yeah, I'll be
going
here.
For like
I celebrate. I just basically go into a dark room and celebrate Jesus.
Anyway, don't forget, 80-year anniversary on Monday, Battle of the Bulge. Joe Landry, if you're listening. I never forget, brother, and my dad in heaven with my mom. Never forget. 80 years, Monday.
Wow.
80th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge. Anyway, so when you're cold when you're cold walking outside, just remember they were freezing cold in a foxhole.
Right.
Anyway, and the other thing is, okay, now Steve made a good point. The last caller, right? It was a joint. Why can't you just say it's a joint venture? What coach in the modern day NFL, forget about the history of the NFL, didn't have a great player that went to a Super Bowl? I don't understand why that's a negative to say that because Bill Belichick had Brady.
Because you never said joint venture before. Like
I've never said it. Correct.
Danny, you said Tommy, you bitched about his mannerisms. You said
he was acting like a douche. Danny was right about it.
The only thing that this week showed, because I already knew it, is that the rest of the NFL agrees with me. That's all.
The rest of the NFL does not want a Bill Belichick style of coaching in the modern day NFL. I've explained that to you.
So you think Robert Kraft made the wrong decision in sticking with Bill over Tom?
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Danny, you don't get to. I just asked a question. I'll repeat the question. Do you believe that Robert Kraft made a mistake in siding with Bill Belichick over Tom Brady?
I believe Bob Kraft could have kept both of them.
Okay, that's not the question.
And he failed. He failed, and I told you this at the museum there, that he failed to get them in the room and say, what do we got to do to keep this thing together? Going forward, what is your issue with him? You tell me what your issue is. He did not do that as an executive. You have to call a meeting. Three people in the room. You've got to call a meeting. And
Danny, we're not going to go. We're not going to. Danny, you didn't even begin the answer. That has nothing to do with the question.
This is freaking ridiculous. You take all caps. You said earlier about the Red Sox. They don't want to spend the money. When you say they don't want to spend the money when it comes to talking about the Red Sox, who are you talking about?
John Henry.
Okay, then when you say they didn't want to spend the money about when it comes to Tom Brady, you go to Belichick with that.
Yeah, Danny, we're going to rewrite all
Kraft.
Of this. Danny,
Kraft,
Danny,
no.
Danny.
Kraft could have spent in the offseason.
And
he Heinz, didn't.
And
Kraft could have. He didn't. That
Danny.
Proves that Kraft was the cheap SOB that
okay.
he is still.
Great.
He hired a cheap coach.
Then why did Bill Belichick
coach,
want to stay here?
A puppet, yes, man.
Then why did Bill
he didn't
Belichick.
Want to pay a good head coach.
Why did Bill Belichick stay here then?
Why didn't he stay here? Because Kraft didn't want him here anymore.
No. Why did he back then? Why did Bill Belichick want to remain the coach of a team that his owner didn't spend?
He was being paid. He was under contract. He was fulfilling his contract.
Oh, okay. So as the highest paid coach in North American professional sports.
Bill did complain about his budget to you before he left.
That was when Karen Grigian made a comment about it. Danny, you're rewriting history. What is your takeaway from the rest of the NFL not hiring?
You're rewriting history. So you're a classic projectionist in this matter, Curtis. You're a
projectionist. I'm a percussionist.
Yeah, you are. You're projecting.
James is.
You're
yeah,
freaking. You just such a hypocrite.
Hypocrite on what?
Such a hypocrite.
Totally right.
When it comes to this stupid, what's Bill Belichick's record without this, without that, without Lawrence Taylor?
I hate to break it to you, Danny, when Tom forgot the amount of downs. Put him down for a second.
Okay.
God.
I don't like when you two get this angry.
Okay. When Tom Brady forgot the number of downs against the Bears, when he was struggling, Danny and everybody was throwing his record into everybody's face. The reason you stop using empirical data to defend your argument is when it no longer defends your argument. So you bring up all of these peripheral things. The fact is, finally and at last, the great debate has been settled. And Danny can't accept that. Wait, so if it was all Bill Belichick's a brilliant coach, Robert Kraft didn't spend the money. Is that the point, right? Am I properly saying what Danny just said?
That's Danny's point, yeah.
Okay. So why wouldn't Bill Belichick be appealing to an owner that wanted to spend money?
Well, he was to you. He was complaining through you.
Ken, why? He's a free agent. Why won't an NFL owner spend money on a roster to give the best coach of all time? Why is he not coaching in the NFL if it was all Robert Kraft's fault?
It's stunning that he didn't get a job.
Okay, but I'm asking.
I don't know how. I don't know why.
So what do you think that says?
The NFL thinks he's washed up?
Thank you. That's all.
Or they're ageist. Might be ageist.
Or
the whole league.
Creed famously put the printer ink on his hair.
Aren't you still stunned to see like McVay and Kyle Shanahan? These guys are in their like 40s, 30s, and so how is McVay is in his 40s now? But
Sean McVay?
He's still in 30s.
Oh, I don't know.
Late 30s. It's amazing how young the league is now, and they just they don't respect
38.
They don't respect their elders. They feel like you got to go young.
Oh yeah, because NFL owners don't want to win.
I think they don't.
I mean,
just want to look good.
If what Danny said is true, if it was all Robert's inability to spend and Bill's coaching remains brilliant, he would be the most attractive commodity in the NFL.
He did ask Carolina for $20 million NIL. That was a requirement.
Okay,
give me some cash.
Work with me here. You can't argue it, so you're pivoting.
I am sort of pivoting, yeah.
Okay, so,
I've admitted defeat. I tweeted it out. What do you want from me?
But it's just amazing to me that people can't accept that. If you want to say Robert Kraft was to blame for Brady leaving and he should have done more, I'll even say, fine, whatever, who cares? If that's on Robert Kraft, the rest of the league knows that, and Bill Belichick has a job.
Yeah.
The rest of the league knows what we quoted in Ian O'Connor's book, which has been chapter and verse.
What if Kraft gave him, like, dirty secrets?
Which is that Bill hated that the quarterback got all the credit. He wanted to win with a top 15 guy. If it were up to Bill Belichick, it would have been Jimmy G here in 2016. correct?
He's going to go to Dallas.
Correct? You agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was ready to move on from him when he had won, before he had won Gronk. Three more Super Bowls. He wanted to put Gronk in Detroit.
Yep, I reported that.
You were ahead of it. Mike Florio said that we were the poop on a shoe.
But don't you think 2026 Dallas?
No.
Bill to Dallas.
Are we having Brodus on or we cancel it?
Maybe it's worth bringing him. I canceled him, but maybe I should bring it back.
We should have him on.
But what if he goes to Dallas in 26 and wins?
I want to talk to Brodus.
Would you change your mind?
What if I grow a full head of hair by Monday?
All right, I'll work on Brodus. I do have Shine for the crossover.
Okay, well.
If that's any consolation.
Don't miss it.
Some draft talk with Shine. Your thoughts on the Red Sox, your thoughts on Bill, 617-779-7937. And by the way, if you missed any of the great content, like Costos taking down Curtis yesterday in a similar debate, 9:30 on the Greg Hill Show, rewind on the Odyssey app, go back anytime, AUDACY.
Who are you more shocked that isn't on something, Donald Trump or Costos?
Costos is like next level energy.
It is wild.
Hart's close, but Costos is there. He's reached the peak.
Right, like Will Fleming.
Similar. High energy, Zach Coe.
Yes.
Ready to trend.
Calm down.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins' five-game West Coast swing continues tonight in Vancouver as they take on the Canucks. Bees looking to snap this mini two-game losing streak to start the trip. Puck drop from Rogers Arena set for 10 o'clock. Day off for the Celtics as they travel down to the nation's capital for a matchup with the Wizards tomorrow. Tip-off set for 6 o'clock. Pats return from their bye week and head out west to Arizona, taking on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Rookie wide receiver Javon Baker has already been ruled out with a concussion, while safety Kyle Duggar, corner Christian Gonzalez, and defensive tackle Christian Barmore are among those listed as questionable. Kickoff from State Farm Stadium set for 4:25 tomorrow afternoon. Hot stove rolls on in Major League Baseball. A pair of blockbuster trades going down yesterday as the Yankees acquire all-star closer Devin Williams from the Brewers, and the Cubs get all-star outfielder Kyle Tucker from the Astros. As for the Red Sox, Alex Speer is reporting that they are still in the market for a starting pitcher even after acquiring Garrett Crochet from the White Sox earlier in the week. Speaking of Garrett Crochet, he met with the media via Zoom yesterday, and here's what he had to say about pitching at Fenway Park.
It's an electric atmosphere, and it's fans that are knowledgeable about baseball, and not every fan base can say that.
Finally, it's Army-Navy week in college football as the 11-1, 22nd-ranked Black Knights take on the midshipmen from Navy. That game will take place at the home of the Washington Commanders, Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland. Don't forget, you can hear Westwood One's coverage of that game right here on WEEI starting at 2 o'clock. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go, wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
You guys like horror movies, huh?
Yeah. I don't.
No. I don't either.
Love them. I do. I love them.
I watch The Patriots. That's enough horror movies for me now.
So, dude, shut up, dude. Shut up, man. I'm so sick of you spoiled Boston sports fans.
Oh.
The Patriots horror movie. Oh, what? What? You mean like the amazing, like the best movies of all times that you had for 20 years weren't enough? All the Super Bowls weren't enough? I mean, God.
Oh, my God.
You guys are sickening. Like, I'm being serious. Like, it's horrible. It's horrible. You guys need to be more grateful.
Costos was coming in hot. It got worse from there for Curtis. A lot of the Twitchers yesterday calling a decisive Costos knockout. We go back and rewind on the Odyssey app and listen to that. Costos v. Curtis, 9:30, talking Bill's legacy. How about this reported now? Diana Rossini from The Athletic.
What a pathetic
This
stooge.
Is unbelievable. There are two big reports. This just dropped an hour ago. I just saw this. Okay, so you're going to love this first one. This is amazing, if true. Now, Diana Rossini, what do you think of her as a reporter? Accuracy?
Today, she's number one in the power rankings.
Diana Rossini of The Athletic reports, 2 weeks ago, the New York Jets were informed there was interest in their organization coming from none other than Bill Belichick. The same Belichick who famously was the Jets head coach for less than a day 24 years ago, before scribbling on a piece of paper, "I resign as HC of the NYJ, etc., etc." For months, Belichick's inner circle quietly conducted informal conversations with a few teams testing the waters. A very small circle of people in the Jets building was made aware of his interest. though I am told no meeting or formal conversation ever happened because the UNC opportunity popped up. So in the end, none of the talks turned into anything serious, and now Bill is at North Carolina. Can you believe that?
I can.
After ripping Woody Johnson on national television this year, they reached out to the Jets.
But this is what he wanted to do. Okay, can we stop with the crap? He was
what
begging.
What a report. Wow.
Begging. He's going around to places that he, ready, aim, fire, is how he described Woody Johnson after Robert Saleh was let go. 3 weeks later, he's like, hey, Woody, let's get lunch.
Who called? Lombardi? Like,
oh,
Lombardi
my God.
Had to call
what
the
a
Jets
gigantic
say,
stooge.
We're doing one last tour of the league. Anybody interested?
Oh, my God. That is.
I wish they had recorded that.
Oh, that's awful.
And, like, posted it.
That's like Jerry showing up at a road show.
That might happen. Could happen. Like, always welcome.
What are we doing here?
Let's go to the phones on the Bell. And I'll get to the second part of her report in a second. But stick on Belichick. Let's go to Brian in Connecticut. Hello, Brian.
Hi, guys. So while we're on the subject of comparing success between the three of the the Patriots there, I really think Bill's made a good decision. I think he'll flourish. He's going to be the CEO of that program. And with the new NIL money and all the gyrations that go along with it, I think he'll do a good job managing that and maybe be seen as a bit of a trendsetter in time. And I think in the end, 24 or 36 months from now, let's see if Robert Kraft is still doing any cartwheels there, Curtis, because frankly, I think he has the most to lose given the disarray of the Patriots right now. That's what I got to say. Thanks, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing cartwheels because he's nowhere near the NFL. Robert Kraft doesn't give two poops what happens in North Carolina. No impact on him whatsoever.
Just even looking at like his schedule next year, he's playing TCU, Charlotte, Richmond, UCF. Like, you could beat all these teams 55-0, and it's just like,
but think about what's at stake if Bill loses to UCF.
Yeah, right. Richmond upsets you at Chapel Hill.
Like, I don't think it'll happen, but I...
As long as they beat Duke, that's all that matters. Beat Duke.
It's not as easy as it appears. And the same guy who is telling you that his first words were beat Duke, the words a week before were, Woody, I'm sorry. Let me in the door.
Or just like, I mean, no offense, Syracuse, but like you're going to go to the Carrier Dome in late November for like the, what is it? Do they have a trophy for that game?
You mocked Tom Brady that he had to go to Tampa.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And he's at UNC.
Still on a Saturday in the middle of nowhere.
Right, he's doing a sit-down with Meter pregame.
We're at FBC Mortgage Stadium in Orlando. Bill right. Belichick is here to take on the UCF Knights.
Yeah, we're on a... Oh, my God.
Let's go to Jay in Wakefield. Hello, Jay. Hello, Jay. Goodbye, Jay. Okay, I'm going to get the second part of the report while we load up the call. 617-779-7937. So, Russini, part two. May and Mayo will stick together. While there hasn't been a public vote of confidence for the head coach from the Kraft family, Patriots leadership is standing by Mayo. Just as discussions about the next NFL hiring cycles heat up, team owner Robert Kraft has privately assured those close to him that he is committed to giving his first-year coach the time and resources he needs to grow into the role. The organization understood from the start this wouldn't be seamless. Transitioning into a high-pressure role like this, especially following the legendary Belichick, comes with a steep learning curve. Mistakes were expected. The Krafts want to allow Mayo the opportunity to find his voice, establish his footing, and develop into the leader they believe he can be. The franchise knows they have their quarterback in Drake May, and his coach will be given a runway. So, according to Russini, definitive Mayo is back.
Yeah, I think that remains the case until and unless they find out that a top tier coach wants to be here. And I would still say even in that case, it's low. We're looking at 5 to 10% chance that he's gone. But it's never, never. You know what I mean? It's never zero.
I would agree with that, but this is pretty close to zero. It would be stunning. What I mean, Ben Johnson, I guess, is the apple of everybody's eye.
The only way there is a change from where I sit is if Gerard Mayo says, this wasn't what I wanted to do. This is different than I experienced.
He quits.
Well, there is a conversation with he and Robert Kraft about the state of the team and where they're going.
Yeah.
And Mayo says, thanks for the opportunity. This is not, you know, I'll take my money. I'll go do something else.
Here's a question for you. Is this job an appealing one to the average NFL rising coach? Like, actually, Mayo probably sees Drake and figures, we got a lot of cap space. If we do spend, I'm going to win some games here.
I think the division is back to being bad.
Right.
It's the Bills and who knows with two on the Dolphins, and the Jets are a dumpster fire.
Right.
So you have the second best quarterback in the division, and you have a blank slate, really. I mean, the way Bill left the roster is bereft of everything. Like, you don't have bad contracts because you don't have good contracts. You don't have anything. So
it is an appealing job.
I mean, what are the other jobs that Ben Johnson's going to be offered?
Bears.
Okay, I would say I would take this over the Bears.
It might come down to Drake versus Caleb, what you think of the quarterback.
Right, and there's whatever you say about Robert Kraft, and he has, you know, rightfully gotten a lot of flack of late. The McCaskies are a debacle. I mean, an unmitigated disaster. One of my best friends is a Bears fan, and it is just, they are always, if we talk about cash spending, the Bears are a disaster when it comes to that.
Would you rather have this job than Jets or Saints?
Yes.
Yes to both?
Yep.
Raiders?
No.
Raiders is more appealing?
Because, I mean, Tom.
Oh, just cut Tom. Jeez. Giants?
The Giants.
Also a clean slate. You have a top pick.
Clean slate. Great ownership.
Cam Ward or Shadir Sanders. That's a risk.
I might take the Giants over this. Just because of what it means. It's sort of one of the great franchises in sports. It's got the New York big money draw. I don't know. I might take that.
Division's interesting because always Dallas, they're going to spend. Washington's good now.
Yeah.
Tougher division.
I would say coin flip.
Jacksonville?
No way.
Dallas.
Dallas, I would take over this.
You would?
Yeah. It just means more.
It means more. What do you mean by that?
You're like America's team's coach. It's kind of cool. This team is nowhere near that.
And Dak's going to be back, right? So we think that's...
If you have Dak and Micah, that's a pretty good offense and defense superstar. Stephen Jones, say what you will. The drafts haven't been awful for Dallas. They just need to pay free agents. They have CeeDee Lamb. They have Dak. They have Micah Parsons. If they've been around 500 to a close playoff team with Mike McCarthy, if they have just a sentient human.
But think about this job a year ago. You said this is the nadir. It's not. Because the nadir was you had to interview 15 candidates to get one that would coach the offense. Now we're going through the NFL head coach openings, and it's not the worst. It's an appealing job.
But the reason I say that is that you have the most important guy at the most important position,
right,
and you're still only with 3 wins.
You got 4 games to play.
So, I mean, you got the guy, you got the home run, and you're not better than you were last year, which is kind of sad.
They win tomorrow?
No.
I think they do.
Always
off
lose.
The bye week?
What is this off the bye week thing?
Extra rest. You heard Jelani Tavai. Rejuvenated.
All right. I'm rejuvenated. What about Brodus?
What do you think about Kyler Murray? Well, Brodus is out. Can't get him on today. Kyler Murray, you respect? Elite?
No, I don't respect grown men that miss work because of video games.
I can't get past the flag thing. You brought this up last week, the flag planting. Did you see the politician in Ohio who wants to make it a crime? That guy is great. It should be a crime. I don't know about a felony. But.
I loved going back and forth with Wiggy. In one breath, a guy goes on a train and says, I'm going to kill all you people. And he gets locked in a headlock. And the guy locking him in the headlock's the wrong guy. Whereas in college football, you know what's coming to you if you plant a flag on a field where you've just competed against one another.
Ohio State Rep Josh Williams, the Ohio Sportsmanship Act, unveiled on Tuesday, proposed in the wake of flag planting incidents around the country. This new law would make it a felony to plant a flag at midfield at Ohio Stadium.
Are you saying
set off the brawl?
Are you saying that Greg committed a felony at Courtney's wedding?
Oh, jeez. 617 texter. Back to Ty Law and Wiggy saying they would have won a Super Bowl with Drew Bledsoe. That's arrogance. Justified arrogance, but arrogance nonetheless. I guess what do you expect from somebody on the team? They're not going to say we wouldn't have done it. I agree.
It's a headline. If one of them says that, Drew Bledsoe gets asked about it on the Herd, and it's a whole big war.
Yeah, but they said it very confidently. They sucked me in.
It is just amazing. In a million years, Bill Belichick, I was outraged when they fired him that they didn't get compensation. What a boob I am. I mean, he couldn't even get in the SEC.
You think Kraft goes to UNC games and sits in the stands?
He actually just bought season tickets to Duke.
That's amazing.
Can you believe Kraft called the Jets? Oh, my God.
Why would he allow that?
What a pathetic.
Talk about embarrassing.
Stand for nothing, stand for everything. I mean, that is just. But it's like, Mike Lombardi, are you that pathetic? Like, is that your life now?
That's the arrogance, that you would have the gall to call them after you ripped them on national television and, like, ask them if they're interested in your guy. Like, they would just stoop to coming back to Bill's feet, groveling at his feet. Did they swear at him? Did they tell him to F off? Like, they should have.
But the way in which Lombardi talked, the irony, the total lack of awareness by Mike Lombardi, where he was on that show, I don't know which one it was, probably McAfee, because they all go on McAfee, and Lombardi rips Shad Khan.
Yeah, we played it there.
I know, for having the blind spot to hire his son as the analytics guy without looking in a mirror and realizing the only reason he's there with Bill Belichick is because he gets his food and, like, cleans his sheets. I mean, honestly, why is Lombardi, what other job would Lombardi have in football if it weren't for Bill Belichick?
He worked with Al Davis.
Okay. That's like saying Jackson worked with Howard Stern.
Jackson worked with Greg.
Right.
Worked with you.
Right. I mean, two icons.
Once a connection, always a connection. Quick aside, you're always a ratings guy. There has been quite a bit of chatter about NBA ratings
50%.
This week. Some of that, no, correct me if I'm wrong, the ratings info was based on the NBA Cup viewership being down.
It's just year-to-date, they're down 50%.
Year-to-date, overall, they're down?
I saw Coward talking about that yesterday. Let me get the exact numbers. Go ahead.
It seems relatively insignificant to me. Like, I don't really... National ratings don't matter that much. But from a local point of view, to your point from last year, where are the Celtics' local ratings? Why are they never published?
Because they're not good.
If that's true, it blows me away.
Well, tell me the last time somebody had good ratings and didn't publish them.
I mean, maybe they're just the media critics are asleep at the wheel, but like, why wouldn't you publish?
Because look at, I got the ratings from the ESPN PR guy that the Celtics NBA Finals championship over the Mavericks averaged a 19 share. The last time the time that they were in the finals against the Lakers in 2010 were in the 30s.
Yeah.
And a couple years ago against the Golden State Warriors, we're in the mid to upper 20s. So, and just to compare that, like the Red Sox in 2018 were right around a 40 in the World Series when they beat the Dodgers in five games.
But sometimes the next year it takes effect. Like people buy in, they watched it, you're a title winner.
We had a week and a half off, like a Super Bowl in between the conference final and the NBA finals. It was Thursday night. We were out in Springfield. It was fever pitch.
Yeah.
They didn't do a 20. Patriots this year are doing 20s.
But they've had, and this year, though, they've had good opponents. They've played Milwaukee four times. You've played Golden State. You've played Cleveland a couple times. You would think Miami, you'd think those games would have drawn pretty good numbers. Now, some of them weren't NBC Sports. Some of them are national TV. But we need somebody to get Celtics ratings. Can you work on this part of your new deal?
I really think.
I want you to be the ratings writer.
Okay, well, we're just south of a 15 in the morning. That's the only thing I can control. You're looking at this where I'm reading from Awful Announcing. The Bulls-Bucks game on ESPN this past week averaged 1.2 million viewers, a 40% decline from a comparable game between the Bucks and the Celtics last year. And the thing that's always frustrating is that when baseball ratings are up, it never gets discussed. When they're down, it's like this national, hysteria.
Right.
The NBA, the product sucks. It's chuck up a three ball. That's the game. It does. I'm sorry. I don't find it entertaining.
That is a narrative that's spreading.
But it's a fact. The Celtics offense is about chucking up the three.
I mean, they're historic. Yeah, they are. But that's not the whole league.
But that's locally if you're talking about it. And people here are waiting for the playoffs because they already had a dominant year last year.
What's more exciting than a Pete Pritch half quarter, though?
My God, the chip.
What do you want to see, an entry pass? Want to see post play?
I don't know. I don't really want to see any of it, to be honest. It's boring and dull.
Not this team. This team is, it's like Hall of Fame.
I mean, if only they were going for an undefeated season. They're close.
Greg was almost right on that. Let's go to David in the car. Back to the crafts. Hello, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. So here's the thing that I have to say about guys like Lombardi, and this goes for the crafts, is that some of these people, they forget that they're in the map, they're on the map, and they are who they are because who gave them an opportunity. Like Lombardi, Belichick gave them an opportunity. You know, the crafts often forget that if Brady and Belichick had been in any other NFL team, they would have had the same success that they had here in New England. So it wasn't the crafts. It was the who's on the field, the coaches, the player, any owner who's willing to put up money, and it has a core of people like Brady and Belichick, you're going to succeed above everybody else. And this is what often forget. It's forgotten.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating.
I appreciate it, David. Thank you for the call. Look, it's been quite a week. It's been an unbelievable
week. I can't believe that Bill called the Jets. Holy guacamole.
Is that more surprising than him going to Carolina?
Yes. Wiggy was right. Wiggy said that, and I said he was crazy. Wiggy said that he would go to the Jets, and he was right. Wiggy's always right in the end, unfortunately.
Wow. That is just sad. But to a previous caller's point, he'll probably do okay at Carolina. He'll do fine there. That's fine. It's a loss for us that I have him in the right. NFL. It's just a big loss.
If he doesn't do well, he'll be coach at Rivers.
They need help.
They do.
Since you left.
I mean, it's just been disaster. Actually, everything's gotten better at Rivers.
They asked you for donations?
No. Oh, yeah. Those stopped a while ago. Those just get sent to Jupiter, Florida.
Coming up next, Shime will tell us who wins the Heisman, whether he would draft as a Patriots fan the Heisman winner.
And the NFL gave the Heisman to Bill Belichick.
And Curtis, I need a play. I mean, I know there's not many college
games
on the
board
today.
All right, I'll give you a play.
I want you to research that during the break.
I know.
Give me that next.
We're back. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Well, he's bad. He's nationwide. He is Shime. And he joins us for the crossover here on the Ken and Curtis program. Hello, Shime.
Boys, good afternoon. How are we?
Wow, he's coming in loud and clear from parts north. New Hampshire, where are we today?
Just up right around the New Hampshire border.
Okay. Now, Curtis, I want your play. Before we get too knee-deep in this time, Shime is the gambling guy, but you have been, Shime, you would admit, Curtis has been en fuego.
Ken, there's been nobody hotter, especially when it comes to college football this year, than Chris Curtis.
Which has been nails. Which is why Costos was so angry.
Yes, I think that's in part why he was furious.
All right.
It takes us all a lot to admit it.
I love this. I got to tell you, I don't think I've watched more than a quarter of either Navy or Army all year. But you got to go Navy plus six.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Rivalry game. Always close.
Yep.
Hegseth is there. I think he's going to be rooting on Navy. Trump, big boat guy. I think Navy covers 6 points.
So can I give a counter bet as well? Mm-hmm. I like the over 39.5. I know historically these games tend to go under, but Army has scored a ton of points this year. Their only game without scoring at least 20 points was against North Texas in like week four. It was 4 weeks ago. And so outside of that, though, they've scored 20 plus in every other game this year. I like over 39.5 in the Army-Navy game.
Okay. There you go, your play of the week. Now, do you have a Celebration Bowl or Veterans Bowl play?
Who's playing? I have no idea.
Jackson State and South Carolina State, South Alabama and Western Michigan.
Okay, if you're betting on, all I know is from our old boss, Kevin Graham, it's Western Michigan. Fire up chips. No, I would say I don't know anything about those. Is it six for Arizona tomorrow?
That's what you said. I would agree.
Correct.
I think that's right. How about Bills Lions? Lions giving 1.5.
Bills, is it down to 1.5?
I think that's what it is.
I have 2.5 here.
Okay, maybe it's 2.5. Maybe it's up.
It's basically just home field advantage is what they're giving right now. I kind of like the Bills. Like, I just don't think they lose two in a row. I love the Lions, but this game is more important to Buffalo. If they want to stay in the hunt, I think they're
already out of it, though. I feel like
it's pretty important for Detroit. Mm. Philly's one game behind them, right?
Can I give you my bold prediction of the weekend?
Let's do it.
I think the Chiefs might lose tomorrow.
Who are they playing?
The Browns.
Ooh.
Wow.
Jameis magic. The Chiefs defense has been underwhelming, even though that's supposed to be the best part of their team lately. To me, this just screams like Jameis has 350 yards and 3 touchdowns.
That's only a 4.5 point spread from last I saw. So that's.
Yeah. It's a weird game. Like, the Chiefs don't need it. And they know Buffalo plays the Lions this week, too, which means they could just be 3 games up and it just doesn't matter. So, like, I wouldn't rule out a letdown spot for the Chiefs here.
I have this take after just letting this marinate, listening to my man Shime for a second.
Okay.
Here. I think if I'm going to bet the Patriots game tomorrow, go money line. I know they've had close losses, but I either think the they're going to get blown doors where they can't stop Kyler Murray. You know, Van Pelt doesn't know what to do, and they're SOL. Or they're well rested. They got out there a day early. Drake May is, you know, healthy, ready to go, and they somehow pull out a win.
+190.
Yeah, almost 2-1. That's pretty good value if you're going to do it.
How about this stat for you? This came up on SportsCenter this morning. Back to Lions-Bills game. There are two quarterbacks currently who have had 13 win seasons with different franchises. One's Brady. One is Peyton Manning. If he wins tomorrow, Jared Goff is the third guy in NFL history to do it.
You know,
does that make him a good quarterback?
It is amazing to me. Jared Goff on any other team is a superstar. He is a guy that, you know, he's sort of like, I mean, look at how Stafford is viewed and Goff is viewed. They've each, you know, been remarkably successful with their new teams. But even though McVay is the coach of Stafford, Stafford gets the credit. Whereas it feels like everything in Detroit is overshadowed by Dan Campbell. Like, we just have never, the brutal interception he threw to Stephon Gilmore at the end of Super Bowl 53. If you look at Jared Goff's numbers, we all know he's got a great team. He's got a great offensive coordinator, all of that. He gets a fraction of the respect that guys like Brock Purdy get.
Right. And even Mark James called him Jared Goof, and I can't get over that years later.
I mean, yeah. Jared said the last laugh there.
I think Goff's good. Like, I don't think he's a top five quarterback good, but he is like legitimate starting NFL quarterback. And he has now made himself in two different spots. He made himself with McVay and then kind of matured and made himself again with Detroit. I think that's impressive, and he does deserve way more credit than he gets.
All right, Shime and Mego coming up at the top of the hour, as they say in the business, in about 5 minutes or so. But before that, I want your draft, I want your Heisman pick and your draft nugget of the day here, Shimey.
Okay.
Travis Hunter. Do you think he's going to win the Heisman? Does he win tonight?
Unfortunately, yes. I say yes. I think he does. I think the Dion media machine is the major reason why.
Right.
But
it'll be fear of Dion's reaction if he loses.
No, it's not a fear of Dion's reaction. It's just like, I think that if Travis Hunter played for somebody not named Deion Sanders, but still like a school at the level of Colorado, he wouldn't be even a finalist.
Okay, so then you don't think the Patriots should take him at 3.
Absolutely not. I think that would be a major misstep. I don't think he should be a top 5 pick in the NFL draft.
As opposed to you and I, the longer Shime and I work together, the more we agree.
Okay, well, that's scary.
Look at that.
How about you and Jackson?
Jackson, I mean, he's been flawless.
He's been cooking lately.
Really? I mean, he still hasn't quite captured that we put news cuts in news, but that's a small.
One small step for man. All right, what's coming up on the Shime and Mego 2-hour extravaganza, the pre-Army-Navy pregame show?
Yeah, we got some Drake May talk, of course. Any show with Shime's going to have some Drake May talk. The Diana Rossini piece that came out today, little nugget on Bill, nugget on Mayo. We'll get to both of those. We'll also get to maybe we get some receiver help in here for Drake May in the offseason. And you don't want to miss it, 1:20 this afternoon, Mego and I head-to-head in a Christmas movie draft.
Wow. Okay.
Love it. All right, Shime. Have a good one. We'll see you Monday.
All right. Sounds good, boys. Have a good one.
See you later. Thank you, Zach. Ken and Curtis off for the year, but Ken and Bradfield next week.
Have fun. God bless America. See you Monday from Gillette Stadium.